Beware, Jesus says. And then what should we beware of? The Lord tells us to beware. You know, there's that little song that says, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And normally we don't rejoice. We really don't rejoice in going to see the King. We want to see the King, but we want to see the King when we're alive, right? We'd like to see the King when we're living. Truth be told, I'm speaking for myself now, right? Want to see the King like now, but still be alive. And the formula does not work that way, does it? When we see the King. Amen. And so Jesus tells us in the meantime that we should beware. And so I want to start with this reflection. It's called Futility of Predicting Christ's Return. The story goes that on Christmas Eve, 999, a long time ago, right? A crowd pushed its way into St. Peter's Basilica in Rome to pray at midnight mass, led by Pope Sylvester II. Some trembled, some wept, all were on their knees or prostrate in prayer. The beginning of the end, the great day of wrath, God's judgment, was moments away, they believed. For months, reports and an earthquake seemed to signal the end. Reports of earthquakes and other things seemed to signal the end. All across Europe, people donated lands, homes, and goods to the poor to better their souls for the coming judgment. Sins were confessed, businesses neglected, fields left uncultivated as people waited in dread. Can you imagine? Someone told us that the Lord is coming right now. How many of us would want to sell our houses? All right? Good thing they all didn't. On New Year's Eve at St. Peter's, the tension was so thick that as the clock ticked towards the end of the millennium, one account says not a few died from fright, waiting. Then the clock struck 12, and the crowd remained transfixed, barely daring to breathe, and life went on. Bells pealed for it and people cheered, so the story goes. But it never happened. It was a tale created by some medieval storyteller who thought that Y1K should have been more fearful and exciting. We have had plenty of fear-mongering about Y2K. Do you all remember Y2K? I remember Y2K. I was working in corporate, and all of our computers, and we as a computer firm, and everything was going to be shut down. Every single computer, and people were going to lose their data. And those of us, I was in charge of client services, we had to go in early the next morning. When I never saw Manhattan, I shouldn't say that because I've seen Manhattan empty now with COVID. But that day I never saw Manhattan that empty. You could run up and down the street, Fifth Avenue, and not get it because everybody was home and our firms were closed. And Y2K, not only about technological catastrophe that awaited us, but also according to many religious books, the apocalyptic terrors that were going to be released as Christ was about to come in judgment, and nearly all of it has proven false. All of it has proven false. It just goes to show once again that Jesus really meant it when he said, "No one knows the hour or day of his coming." it is not our business to calculate its coming, and certainly not to fear it, but simply to await in hope, and in the meantime, do what he has called us to do day by day. Don't have to fear it. Don't let people tell you to sell your property. If I tell you to give your houses to me, don't believe me. Right? If I tell you to bring your jewelry to the church, you could bring it if you want to give it to the church, but don't believe me. So in the context, what has Jesus called us to do? Jesus has called us to be where? Right? To be on guard. To be where? To be on guard. To be on guard, to be cautious. No matter the tragedy these days, some religious leader or blogger will attempt to connect it to God's judgment. Some say Superstorm Sandy was God's wrath. I saw this in the Huffington Post. Very good point. Some say Superstorm Sandy was God's wrath on liberal New York and New Jersey. Do you know that? Others fault 9/11 on homosexual agenda, whatever that is. They always point it to someone. Many argue July's shooting in Aurora, Colorado would have been prevented were it not for the liberals or the conservatives. Whatever it is, we're pointing it on someone. This instinct to interpret current times through the broader lens of God's judgment is not new. We think we know. Every time something happens, we think it is God's judgment. Examples appear throughout the Bible. Jesus spoke often about the end times, and certainly not in ways supported by modern scientific worldview. Jesus said nothing about the end time that we are going to know when it's going to come. There are many who now think coronavirus is punishment or judgment from God. It could be punishment from God, but it has nothing to do with the end time. And if it does, we don't know, right? We don't know. It's a terrible virus, and some believe it's caused by in a lab. Some believe it's caused by a bat. Some believe it's caused by whatever. But we still don't know, but these things happen. But every now and then when these things happen, it shakes us up. If the only good news about this, when these catastrophes happen, we ought to be looking at our lives. Amen? For Jesus, the belief that God controls history was fundamental to his perspective. Not only before his arrest, not long before his arrest, Jesus was with the disciples in the temple. And as they came out of one of the disciples exclaimed his awe of the structure. He says, "Look, teacher, what large stones and larger buildings," he said. Indeed, ancient historians wrote that the temple in Jerusalem was magnificent. So it wasn't any old kind of structure they were looking at. It was magnificent. They're waiting to rebuild it. You know that. The Jews are waiting to rebuild it. If its massive size was not impressive enough, much of it was covered in gold. Can you imagine? Jesus' response must have caught the disciples off guard. He says, "Do you see these great buildings? Now one stone will be left here upon another. It will be thrown down." The disciples, too, must have been in a mood to discuss the end times, because next, when Jesus was sitting opposite the temple on the Mount of Olives, some of them asked for further explanation. When? They wanted to know when. Just like us, they wanted to know when. They wondered aloud, when? What will be the sign? And Jesus responds in his trademark roundabout way. And he said, "Don't worry about it," right? The bird pangs haven't come yet. It's just the beginning. And so my key points, the first slide here, the key points, what Jesus said, that we need to take He says, beware that no one leads us astray. Christian believer, we don't have to worry about the end times, but we must beware, right, that no one leads us astray. He says, many will come in my name and say, I am he, and they will lead many astray. Our job is to stay focused on Jesus, to accept him as our Lord and Savior, and to not waver. Don't waver to the right or to the left, because and be reminded that many will come to lead us astray. Many of them are on television, now they're on YouTube, and they're on Facebook, and they says they got the word, and I'll tell you this story. There was once when I was in this church, Alan AME, I was a member, big church, and they had a speaker who came from somewhere, and we were all sitting in the audience, in the congregation, and he began to preach, and it was, I guess they were using it as a fundraiser, I don't know, but he says, if you have $1,000, I think he started at $1,000, he says, God has a word for you, but it costs $1,000. You have to bring $1,000 up, and God has a word for you, $1,000. And I'm sitting there, I mean, this is a true story, I'm not making it up. I know those of us, many of us have seen it in some churches. Yeah, and he says, $1,000, and God will bless you 1,000 times. 1,000, people are getting up, and I thought, well, I'm not going to get the blessing tonight because I don't have $1,000. I'm not going to give my, but he, and then when he, and there were people who literally got up with their checks, I guess, or whatever, because I don't think they came with $1,000 in their pocket, who knows, and they got up to bring their checks, whatever, with $1,000, and then he went down to 500, you know, he's going down the line. Well, I thank God that God has blessed me because I didn't have anything to give him. I had my tithes, my offering, that when the offering plate comes around, but he was just a crook, right? He was just a crook, a con. And many in the church talked about it afterwards that they'll never have him back. I guess they did not vet him enough to know that he would be doing this. Because the more they get in the church when they come to those churches, they would take that money. They want a big payback, right? So they don't put a flat fee. The more they collect, they get a percentage of it. They want to get a percentage. But could you imagine coming to a church in Queens? Yeah, and it's a middle-class church. There's a lot of professionals. But coming to a church in Queens and telling people to bring $1,000 up to give them. Right? Because you need to hear from the Lord. There have been many, many people who have lied and distracted believers. That's why Jesus said, be aware. Be aware. Right? Be aware, folks. Be aware. Right? He says, many will come and say they're he. Many will come and say they could work miracles. Many will come and say they could heal you immediately. Many will come and say they could heal you from cancer, heal you from eyesight. Oh, yes, there's some folks who may have the gift, but a lot of them do not. Jesus says, be aware. Right? That's what we believers have to do. And then he says, the next point, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do not be alarmed. This must take place, Jesus says. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Why? Because humanity, we're fighting and killing each other from the very beginning. There's wars and rumors. It's not new. And Jesus says, don't consider that that's necessarily end time. We won't know that. And then he says, third point, he says, for nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We could say it's the end time now, but we could have said it was the end time when it was World War II. We could have said it was the end time when it was World War I. We could have said it was the end time, right? You could go back and read history. There's been all but things. We could have said it's the end time when it was the Holocaust, right? We could say it was the end time when slavery was killing people from Africa back and forth. We could many, many things, right? We could say it's the end time. The great famine in Ireland that killed so many people. A lot of Irish folks migrated here because of the great famine, right? If you know history, could have said it's the end time. The famines in Africa, Ethiopia, so we could always say, but there's a lot of things that bring it on us, right? Now we're ruining the environment, and things are happening, and bad things will continue to happen, and we can say it's the end time, but a lot of it is in our control. Because Jesus says again, no one knows the hour, the minute, the second, or the time, right? Nobody knows. He says there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines. But we just have to be aware. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs, Jesus said. You know what? This writer, his name is, I think he's a professor, Buckner, he says, on the coming day of judgment, whenever we speak of the end times, our hearts often quicken, partly out of joy, yet also out of fear. To speak of the end times is to speak of somewhat uncertain times. No one knows that day or hour, Christ says, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. No one knows. But the uncertainty of calendars and dates isn't what troubles us most. It's the notion of the final judgment. So perhaps, he says, these words from author and pastor Frederick Buckner can offer us a bit of comfort. Words that both acknowledge the reality of the coming judgment and the grace-filled love of the judge. The New Testament proclaims that at some unforeseeable time in the future, God will ring down the final curtain on history, and there will come a day on which all our days and all our judgment, all the judgment upon us, and all the judgment upon each other will themselves be judged. The judge will be Christ. In other words, the one who judges us most finally will be the one who loves us most fully. That's the good news. The one who will judge us is the one who loves us fully. Isn't that the good news? There's going to be a judgment, but Jesus is going to be the judge. And if we have accepted him, Mark, the Hebrew writer tells us, oh, this is good news. Yes, there'll be a judgment, but because we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior, the Hebrew writer says, and every priest stands day after day at service, offering again and again the same sacrifice that can never take away sins. But Christ had offered for all times a single sacrifice for our sins. And he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Our judge has sat down at the right hand of God the Father, and since then has been waiting until his enemies will be made his footstool for his feet. And then, therefore, we who are believers, right, where our sins are forgiven, our sins are forgiven. There's no more offering for sin, because we could go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness of sin. Therefore, my friends, the writer says, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, we have been washed by the blood of Jesus, believers. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. How precious is that flow that makes us white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtains. He opened the curtain for us, that so that all of us who believe can enter into the Holy of Holies this morning, dear friends. We could enter it through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach it with a true heart. Friends, we have a great high priest called Jesus, who loved us so much that he has given his life for us. So we don't have to worry about the end time, friends. We don't have to worry. We just have to serve God. We have to be in relationship with God. The first thing we must do is accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then we must be in prayer. And then we read the Word of God. Study his Word. And serve him in his church. serve them in our community, and we don't have to be concerned. That is the good news for us. And that's why we could sing. We could sing the great songs. Some bright morning, when this life is over, yes, I see Nancy moving her hand. You know that great song, Nancy. When this life is over, we'll be going home, right? We'll be going home when the saints are marching in because we have served the Lord. And what we have to do for our children, our loved ones who believe don't know Jesus, all we have got to do is pray for them. We keep praying, right? We'll be going home to see Jesus. And the one who loved us so much that he laid his life down for us will be there to receive us because we have served him and served him well. And we'll hear the well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few, and I'll make you ruler over many. Thanks be to God for the promises of Jesus that we can go home when our time comes. That we can rejoice when our time comes. And that we don't have to worry no more. We don't have to worry. We just have to serve God and live right. And trust in his redeeming love. Amen? Amen. And trust in his redeeming love. That is the good news for believers this morning. I rejoice when I read the end time texts in the Bible. They're all over Matthew. When you read them, I say, thank God for Jesus. Every time I read it, I say, thank God for Jesus. And then I say, thank God that I'm saved. Saved, saved, saved from eternal damnation. And I've got a home. We've got a home in heaven, not made by hands. A dwelling place, not made by human hands. A place for you and me. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I've gone to prepare a place for you. And so that where I am, you may be also. Amen. Friends, let's give God a praise offering. Let's give Jesus a praise offering. Let's give him a praise offering for preparing a place for all believers. Amen.